Hi there folks, Paul here, signing back in for another video. Hello and welcome. Welcome again. Thank you for taking the time to come and join with me. Now today we're going to continue our study, our Bible study, here looking at the book of James. We're working our way through it verse by verse. So glad you can join with me. So grab your Bible if you would. We're going to pick it up from where we left off last time, James chapter 1. From verse 21, and as always, I will read first, then we'll come back, look at some notes, discuss, and dig in. Verse 21 of James 1, therefore, understanding of course, therefore, summary of everything that's come before, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he, verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, if any of you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Now, he looks like he's talking about two different things there, but as we'll see in future videos, this all comes together in our manner of living. So if we look here, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. I like that. Lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. It's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? In the NIV, we read, get rid of all moral filth and evil. The NLT, similar, all the filth and evil in your lives. I love, and I'm going to laugh out loud at this one if I'm not careful, the King James, lay apart all filth and superfluity of naughtiness. Simply put it down. Lay it aside. Put it aside. Get rid of it. It's, what do you do at home when you're, you know, when your rubbish bin, in the kitchen perhaps, when it's full, what do? Just let it keep overflowing? Do you let it gather? No, you take it outside, you put it into the rubbish bin. I used to do a lot of hiking. And when I would go hiking, I would take, you know, snacks, drinks, and so on with me. And keep the rubbish, of course, to take back with me, but then to put it aside, to put it into the bin, to put it into the rubbish, and put it out. This is what it means to put it aside, to lay aside and put away all of these things and all filth and wickedness. We're talking here. And as I go through this, I need you to be a little, I think the word is introspective. I need you to look within, to look carefully and to be honest within. We're going to see that in the way and the manner in which we look into a mirror. But I need you to do that because filth and wickedness, here we see moral filth and evil depending on the translation. This is the junk. This is the sin in our lives, or that we carry still sometimes from our past life, we carry it in our memories. We're told to lay it aside. This is pride. This is self-interest. Oh, me. I. This is selfishness. These are the desires, the works of the flesh. That's what these things are. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, you probably know this scripture, if anyone desires to follow me, let him, what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And this is something that I wrestled with for quite some time. What does it mean to take up his cross? I mean, deny himself. Okay, easy enough, I think. Follow him. Okay, easy enough, I think. But what does it mean to take up the cross? I want you to just imagine and understand for this moment that in that time, the cross, crucifixion, it was a symbol of death. It was a symbol of shame. this death, this flesh is a body of death. Paul himself said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Understanding that our natural self represents death and the works of the flesh are shameful for a Christian. For us now, it is denying that part of ourselves, denying the desires of our flesh. And doing it daily, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time decision when you feel called for that very first time to respond to the altar call. No, it's not that. It's not saying a sinner's prayer. No, it's not that. It's a daily thing. Not just a one-time decision. Galatians 2:20, Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We have to crucify our flesh and crucify the works of our flesh. Put them to death. This is what we're talking about here. Lay aside all filthiness, all wickedness, all moral evil and filth. That's what we're talking about here. And then we have to receive with meekness, with humbleness, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. When we come to our Bible study, and let me just say this, if no one's ever said this to you before, when you pick up this book, here we have the collection of Scripture, Holy Scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 66 different books written over a period of time, can't remember exactly, 1500, 1800 years. A whole bunch of different authors, but handed to them the words inspired by the Holy Spirit. We need to come to it with no pre-planned agenda. We cannot say, I have this thought, let me now find it in here. Let me back up my thoughts with the word. No, we cannot do that. We must come to it saying, Father, you wrote this by your Holy Spirit through the hands of men. What have you for me today? Do not come to the word already knowing, thinking, saying, this is what I want. I want to get rid of the I out of your speech if I can. We must receive it with meekness, with humility. Think back to Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. The meek shall inherit the earth. Sorry, who was that? The weak? No. The gentle? No. The pushover? No. He who is humble in heart before the Lord, that is the meek who inherit the earth. And so here we receive the implanted word, and this word, logos in the Greek, we see two basic descriptions, rhema and logos, used in the word for the word word. Okay, I'm trying not to get confusing here, but we see these two different things best explained in Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter, it says, speaking these words, rhema, the spoken word. And then when the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, logos, Jesus, the eternal living word, thus salvation came. We speak the word, rhema, we receive the word, which is Jesus, logos, the living word. John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, I think, and then the word became flesh. This is the word that changes lives. So we see here, and I haven't even finished one verse yet, with meekness, the implanted word. This is important. And when you come to Scripture with a pre-planned agenda, you will not receive what He has for you. You won't, because you're seeking what you want for you. Do you see the difference there? And then we see in verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And this is an important distinction that this section deals with, to be doers, not hearers only, lest what? Listen, lest you deceive yourselves. Now every man, I know this as well as I'm sure you do, ladies, I'm sure it's the same for you too. Every man is a master in self-deception. We are. We truly are. From a young age, we seek after our own. We do and we say what we need to get what we want. It is the flesh. This is a natural desire. But then we come to Christ and we become a new creation. A new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5. And we have faith, saving faith. James talks of this a lot. We're going to come to it as well. But the entire summary of James is saving faith results in changed lives, changed behaviors. Else, we are deceiving ourselves in our faith. We are deceiving ourselves. For he says here and begins to explain verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away, he immediately forgets what kind of man that he was." I don't have grandchildren yet, but my kids, of course, grandchildren to my parents, my mother and father-in-law as well. But I got children. I love children. Children speak the truth. Yes, they will speak the truth. And I've had gray hair since I was 30-ish. I did color it for quite some time. But children will speak the truth. Gray hair suggests you're getting old. Okay? Back in my day, I would say in the stories, my father said them to me as well, I'm sure that you've done the same. Back in my day, we used to have to walk to school and so on and so on and so on. But according to them, back in my day, we used stone tablets, grog. Children speak the truth. I remember a beautiful story which illustrates this, and I'm so glad this didn't happen in my house. Let me just say, didn't happen in my house. Wife comes to the husband. I can't remember where he was, but the husband's, say, watching telly. Wife comes in, new dress, puts it in. "Honey, do I look fat in this?" Of course, good husband, says the right thing. "No, absolutely, honey, that looks beautiful, not at all. You look wonderful, you look great." The child, 5 years old, in the same room, simply, literally yells out, "But mummy, you are fat." I love children, they speak the truth. And over the years, as we look into the mirror, actual mirror, we create for ourselves an impression. And that impression is based on not just what we see, that impression is based on what we think about what we see, what others have thought about what we see, what others have said about what we see. When we look at a mirror, we do not see ourselves, we see a version of ourselves that we choose to see. So yes, ladies, if you look into the mirror and you see someone and you think, "Oh, I'm horrible, I'm fat, I'm ugly," you may have a few extra kilos. I'm talking about that. I'm not talking about obesity at the moment. That's a different thing, a health matter. I am talking about, yes, you may have a few extra kilos. That happens up and down over time, seasonal change. Okay, but do not deceive yourselves. You're not ugly necessarily just because of that. You are likely beautiful. You are likely amazing, magnificent, unique, powerful, gorgeous. And men, we do the same thing, but it's fascinating. We do the exact opposite thing. We look at the mirror and And we see ourselves as our 20-something self, even though we might be 50-something now. And we have this vision and, well, at one point, maybe the bubble does bust a little bit and we go, "Yeah, okay, that's spare tire. That Michelin X, that's not supposed to be there anymore." But there it is. But we go away from the mirror and we forget what type of man that we are because we carry with ourselves a picture in our heads. So it is with our Christianity, folks. It is too easy that we would deceive ourselves by saying, "We're okay. We're doing fine with God. Pastor said that that's okay. Pastor didn't tell me that my behavior is wrong. I'm okay." We create this thing for ourselves, which isn't necessarily the truth. We hear something, we believe it, and so we are satisfied. But James is saying here, we hear it. We hear it here in the word, and then we don't do it. And this is what frustrates me so much about those preachers who don't crack open their Bible. Like literally, don't crack open their Bible on a Sunday morning. They may have scriptures on the back screen behind them for everyone to read. We're not going to teach you how to use your word, how to use the sword of the Spirit. We're just going to get you to read it, and we're going to take that little quote, and I'm going to tell you what you need to know about that piece of scripture. No. This is the same as our minds are already made up of who we are. But I need you to understand and remember this. Hebrews 4:2. The word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joint and marrow. It is, listen carefully, it is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Logos, the implanted living word. It is meant to change you, folks. It is meant to change you. This whole section, you know, verse 5, we've been reading through, ask for wisdom. Verse 19 and 20, listen before speaking. Verse 22, hear and hear the word. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. And this one will be blessed in what he does. There is a solution to the crisis that plagues the modern church. I'm going to finish here. Keep these videos short. I'll do a part two. Remember this. There is a solution to the crisis. The crisis of cherry-picking scripture and adapting it to our own desires. Wrong! Stop it! Stop it now! Please! Verse 25, here's the solution. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. We're going to come back with that thought in our next video. God bless. Sorry, but I get a bit excited here sometimes. I want to see the blessings of Christ in your life. I wish I could just unpack and show you what God has done in my life when I chose to submit to this word. I wish I could show you somehow. Instead, I'm trying to explain to you what he has revealed to me in such manner that it will be planted within you, and the fruit that is of the Spirit will grow up in your lives. This is what I want for you. This is why I do these videos. This is why I speak sometimes and get so passionate. Because my hope for you, no matter where you've come from, where you've been, where you are, my hope for you is that you will begin to live in Christ daily, taking up your cross, denying yourself, putting him first above all else, and having faith. And faith, folks, is more than just belief. It is trusting in him. Trusting in him. Let me leave you with this example, if I may. I got to share it with a couple of folks on the weekend. We were sitting at the table. One of the gentlemen, and we'll come to this shortly, this testimony, struggling so much, homeless at the moment, struggling. And a couple of us guys getting together, doing what we can to help, not just spiritually, but physically also. So important. And I said, imagine your life be like a chessboard. And this is a very small life, just, you know, 64 squares. There's a lot more, but it's like a chessboard. And God is moving those pieces around in order for him to bring to pass what he must in your life. Well, you've got your chessboard. There's a chessboard for me. Here we go. There's a chessboard for you over there. And this other fellow, there's a chessboard for them. Each of us here in this room, we all have our chessboards. Now, in order for me to come alongside and have the time, as I have this past week, to work with you, to share, and to physically help you, God has had to move pieces of my chessboard around to make that possible, that they can come in alignment then for you with this time. And for the other gentlemen who were with us, and God is moving the pieces of their chessboard around so that they can come into alignment to be helping you this coming week. God is moving. This is the point. God is moving. But sometimes we must be patient. We must wait. And as we read here earlier in James chapter 1, patience has a perfect work when we wait with faith. And that is that our faith might be complete and lacking nothing. Our what? Our trust. Our hope in Jesus. So while these pieces of the chessboard are being moved around by God, we must be patient and we must wait with faith. With faith as we walk through this trial. It's why we can count it all joy when we fall into various trials. And if temptation should come along as a means of coping mechanism in these trials, we submit to God, we resist the devil, he flees from us, and we wait patiently. And as Scripture says, those who wait upon the Lord, yes, shall renew their strength. They shall be lifted up on wings as eagles. They shall walk. They shall not grow weary. They shall not faint. Paraphrase. But that's the whole point of it. And you must receive the implanted word, Logos, the living word. And you cannot, will not get that in a bite-sized, piece-by-piece TED talk on a Sunday morning. You won't. Which is why I'm passionate about giving it to you here. So God bless. Thank you for sticking through to the end. We'll pick up this very, very shortly from verse 25 in the next video. Talk soon. Bye-bye.